Hashem, remember. One of the Tzadik Chesem went off at the top of the page. Make Vashem. So we said the water in which vegetables of Truma were pickled, that's also to the non-Kohanim, because the Tam of the vegetables go into the water. Tamantaninon. It says over there in Mishnah Mikvah, you say the place of one mile, and these are the substances that disqualify an incomplete mikvah. That is to say, if you have less than 40 salt, and you pour gimel or gnomayim shuvim into the water, it passes all the water, the whole water becomes pasul. You can't fill it up anymore to make 40, because the three actually passel the water. So that's what it means, poslin. Below malin, so let's see, what would that mean? That would mean that if you would have less than three lugin, you couldn't use, like, let's suppose you had 38 salt water of regular rainwater, and that you poured in two lugin of mayim shuvim, that wouldn't be enough to be mashlim the share of 40. It wouldn't disqualify it, but there wouldn't be mala. Okay. Now hamayim. Bein tahor and bein tameim, whether they're tahor or tamei, make washer meishlakas, whether they're pickled or cooked. Okay, so that means, what's the definition of mayim shuvim? What kind of water is it? So it says over there that if you had pickled vegetables in water, that it still has the status of water, right? Water in which vegetables were pickled or cooked. Had tamid ashlo hechmetz, and tamid is, of course, let's see, take the psoilas at the bottom of the bar of a press, of wine press. You take out the peels and the pits, the psoilas, and you take that and you pour water over it and let it soak a little bit, so you get like a light flavored grape juice type thing. That's tamid. So, and as long as it has not yet fermented, it has a lot like water. Here in the Mishnah, you're making the water like, you're making the pickled water as if it's truma. So, what, it's a stira. How come when it came to the truma, you considered it like water? And when it came to the truma, you considered it like the vegetable. Which is it? Water or vegetable? Okay. Which is it? Make sense, the question?
Yeah, were either of them the first one, or the pickles weren't heated either. Just sit
it. Yeah, what's the difference? Both cases, both Mishnah is quote the same case. It quotes Kvashim and Shlokas, it quotes both cases. Yeah, so let's take a quick look over here at 6. Our Mishnah forbids water in which truma vegetables were cooked or pickled based on the principle of Tam Kaker. And it's not anymore legally classified, I don't know, it doesn't sound like good English to me, as mere water, but as the vegetables that flavored it. 7, when it comes to drawn water, it applies only to water, not any other liquid or substance. Thus, the Mishnah's ruling that three lugin of water in which vegetables were pickled or cooked disqualify an incomplete mikvah indicate that the water retains its classification as mere water, notwithstanding its vegetable flavor. So that's the contradiction.
Maybe this Mishnah is going like, I think, Rabbi Yechiel ben Nuria, I call Hayalach Achra Mara. So it could be the Tam of Truma, but it doesn't. It looks like water.
Okay, that's highly unlikely in the case of cooked vegetables. The water always changes color.
Okay,
Amar Mona, Khan Vakasha. I mean, it's a good attempt, is any. I don't mean to say it's not a good attempt.
That was a very good
attempt. Yeah, Amar Mona, Khan Vakasha, here concerning Truma, it's thick water. Maybe this is actually what the Gemara kind of like is Mimaramis too. It's thick water. Okay, 8. Literally hard. The water has become thick, its appearance clouded. So, right. So that's kind of like what you're saying, Abe.
Yeah.
Kanvarakin, whereas here, it's talking about loose water. My grandmother, Allah Shalom, used to say to me, Shlemi Tatala, make me a cup of tea, but make it loose. Make it loose. You know what that means? Make it light tea. It's a loose. Anyway. Grandma Hartman, in case you were interested. The Mishnah McVos deals with water that did not become thick, right? It remained clear and retains its loose texture. All right? That's basically what you said, Abe. Only it wasn't toilet in Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri.
Yeah, right.
Which is interesting. Yeah. You know, there's a whole article. I just read this article in Reb Schechter on the Parsha Volume 3, Parshas Shmini. He discusses this distinction between a mashka and also in English, a beverage and a drink. So he has a bunch of rayas. I'll just give you the overview real quick. So if you have, let's suppose you have a mother's breast milk. So the Gemara indicates that it needs to have a hechsher for the milk to become tamei. So the question is, what do you mean? It's milk to begin with. It's a mashka. So why does it need to have a hechsher? The teretz is because since that's milk is the whole sustenance of the baby, so it's not a din of mashka. It's a din of an oichel. So that's the beginning of it. That's the start of the essay. That thesis. So and for instance, the reason why we don't make a mezonos on beer, even though it has the tam of the barley mixed into the water, is because it's a drink. You never make a mezonos on a drink. You make a shahakal on a drink. As long as that, so there's a difference. So a soup, you're going to make a bright priyat dhamma, because a soup, even though it's liquid, it doesn't matter. You don't drink a soup to quench your thirst. A soup is a food, so you make a bright priyat dhamma on the vegetable soup. Mashayin kain on a beer, you're going to make a shahakal, because a beer is a drink.
Saying even if there's no chalks.
Yeah. I'm saying that if that's the it's, you have to decide, is it a mashka or is it an oichel? And that is the general, I'm just giving you, that's the short of it. In a certain sense, one could tie it in here that, I mean, here Gemara seems to be saying, maybe it's a steer or two over here, I don't know. When it's thick, it's a bright priyadom. And I forget about the bracha. When it's thick, it has a halach, it's not water. When it's light, it has a halach like water. Okay. I don't know whether it's tali zavzak. Could it have a halach like water and still have bright priyadom as its blessing? I don't know. On Rabbi Yisrael Rabbon, afilu tamer kam kashin. You could say both are either thick or kam barachin. They're both loose, nice and tam and bitruma. They nice and tam and bimikva. He says a more basic answer. The answer is that when you're talking about truma, what are you mainly interested in? You're mainly interested in the tam. So if it has a tam truma, then it has a halacha like truma. I don't care whether it's thick, whether it's thin, I don't care. It tastes like truma, it's truma. Mashenken, by the mikvah, it's dependent. Is it water, is it not water? It's two separate halachas. Okay? 11. In other words, the principle of tam ki ikur is applicable only with regard to truma. An emergency phone call. But it's suspected spam. I think I'm going to ignore it.
Scam.
It's the police. What it is someone trying to raise money for a yeshiva. There's no question about it. Okay. But I think it's a part of mitzvah. So tam ki ikur is applicable only when it regards to truma and other laws of consumption. It has no bearing on the laws of mikvah. That's very interesting. So the flavored water loses its classification concerning laws of mikvah, to which the principle does not apply. The flavor is disregarded, and the flavor water retains its disregard. Uh-huh. Okay. That's basically what it's saying. So you're going to say tam ki ikur only when it comes to isra achila, and not when it comes to mikvah. Hadron Allah Basel Shanasu, Hadron Allah. And let's go to the next parak. Parak Adhar Asar, the last parak, final parak, I should say, of Tumas.
When are we making a siyum? How long from now?
When you finish.
Before Pesach?
When you finish.
We have a rule about siyum. Whoever asks about the siyum is the one that has to arrange it.
That's right. You ask about the seal, you pay for the seal.
Can I give a mashke, or do I have to give a oil?
That's a good question.
Pesach seal.
Okay. Ain't no sense veil of grammar, so talk money. Zok the Mishnah. You're not allowed to put figs or pressed figs or dried figs into the fish sauce. The reason for that is because what they were to do is because the fish sauce was not very tasty, had some sourness, whatever it is. You put a little nice sweet fig in there, so it'll kind of like make the fish sauce a little better tasting. And what they would do is they would squeeze the fig a little bit and then they would discard it. They'd throw it out. So obviously that's also that's also because you're being ma'ave the fig of truma. You're discarding it.
Is that the same thing as baltashkes?
No, it's not baltashkes. You could do it with a regular fig. It's only also here by truma. That's the diak you make from the Mishnah. Clearly not baltashkes, but it's an isra ibur on truma. Neshuma adon. It says it explicitly. But you can put wine into the fish sauce. That would be an added ingredient. Well, many people have, you've seen, in the clear sauce.
White sauce.
Not the white one. I want the clear one. The clear one says in wine sauce. Did you say wine? I thought you said white. I'm sorry. Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Wine sauce. People add wine on a regular basis to the herring. I see you're a person that eats herring. I don't know whether there's anybody else in the room that eats herring.
I like onions.
Oh, so that you can put in because that obviously is not going to go to Ebud. You're not going to throw it out. It's part of the process, right? It is accepted practice to use wine to flavor a mixture. Therefore, it's not considered destructive. Okay, that's the important principle. It's accepted practice. Okay. You can't perfume oil. That means it's the problem is like this. There's two problems. One problem might be because
it absorbs the oil, the
spices, and then you discard the spices. So you're again bring ma'abed the truma, or after you spice the oil, it no longer is edible. There's two possibilities. Of eisen hayayin yenumlin, you can make spice truma wine. Because there the spices remain in the wine, I think. Is that the reason? You add honey and peppercorns. The condiments are consumed with the wine. They're consumed with the wine. There's nothing that goes to waste. Okay? So you could do that. So the honey and the peppercorns are not wine. It's the wine that's the truma. Not truma. It's the wine that's the truma. Okay? You got to keep track of what's the truma here and what's not the truma. Okay, so in this case, the wine is the truma, the peppercorns are not the truma. What would be the problem is if you threw them in and you were to discard them, then you would have a problem of maybe they absorb some of the wine, and by throwing them out, you'd be ma'abed truma. So the teretz is, the mishnah is matret, because you're going to eat them all. So no problem, okay? Then you have finally the famous machlokes, which we had much earlier than this. After Eim Vashel Yan Shel Truma, Neishim Amita, you can't cook wine. That's how we made yain levushal in the old days. They used to pour it into a big pot and heat it up so it would be yain levushal. So you can't do that because it's going to mamato. It's gonna go down in volume because it's gonna. You have to get steam. The water, he means the water content of the wine.
In other words,
but that's also wine.
What stays behind? Why is it becoming concentrated?
Right. You're right. There is a liquid.
We're separating something in the wine.
Yes.
Alcohol.
I don't think it's because of
the
way
we're evaporating the alcohol.
You're evaporating wine. You're evaporating the liquid. The liquid goes down. If you draw a line with your magic marker in your pot and you boil it for 20 minutes, then the level of the wine will go below your magic marker point. That's memato. That's one shot. I think memato could also mean it reduces the number of ochlin because it becomes much stronger. Rabbi Yehuda Mater, he alters mutter, neshu mashbicho, it improves it, which they say means it'll last longer. Okay. Zok de Gemara. You can't place figs into the fish sauce. So the Gemara says it's not always also. Here's a brisa that sometimes says it is mutter. Tonui is a brisa that says, Noisin velagarus the takamorius. Kedarach, page 2, on the base, Kedash Shanaisen Tavlin, that you can put the, what, the figs into the sauce like you place spices of truma into fish sauce. So, you know, when I read it, I thought, I started scratching my head when I first read it. I said, well, what's going on over here? It sounds the opposite of what our Mishnah just said. The first statement we said was a noisen tvela, and here it says noisen tvela. So it sounds like a flat-out contradiction. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at the Marafolda or the, you'll see he writes the first line in the Gemara. He says, Upli gama season. He writes like a Dabar Pasha, something like that, that this argues on our Mishnah. The Tani Noisen Vela Grasa Takamoyas, Dash Noisen Taka Shab Tamshu. Anyway, so, I mean, it sounds like it's complete rejection of the whole Mishnah. Our Mishnah says you can't put the veil on Gregus. And it says, it doesn't talk about the spices into wine, does it? Dash a nice tavlin. One second. At least the first part of the Brisa sounds like it's Sicer. Anyway, let's go right during the Gemara. The Gemara tries to make everything work together a little bit. The provided that you don't squeeze the figs to extract the juices. Once they squeeze the figs, then they're discarded. And that's what we said in our Mishnah that says it's also to do that. That's what he says in the English. That's what the Mishnah's prohibition was, to squeeze the figs and then throw them out. Where, however, the figs are not squeezed out, but are left in the fish sauce to be consumed, it is permitted. So basically, we're answering a steer in the brises that our Mishnah is talking about where you throw out the figs. This Mishnah that allows it is where you don't draw the things. Okay? Ubatavlin mutter. What about truma spices placed into fish sauce? Shekachol melachton. That's their primary function. In other words, truma spices. In that case, again, we're going to keep track of what's truma, what's not truma. If you have truma spices, that's the way truma spices are used. You use them,
spices,
but
spices.
You take
not
it.
Really food.
You soak it. It gives off its taste, and then you take the spices out of the food and throw it out. That's not called eva, because that's the way it's usually done. Right?
It's not eva of the spices,
it's
or it's not
you throw it out. This is coming out. This is, you're going to throw out these spices. That's the point of it. Okay? It's permitted to even to squeeze out the juices, because that's the primary function. That's what it says. Okay. Final ruling. Mabin Levin Shabbos. Now the Gemara says, oh, one second, I missed something. Sarar Tavlin. Here we're talking about a bundle of spices. If you take a bundle, you know what you do with a bundle of spices? You put it inside, a very thin paper, porous paper that you throw it into the pot, and it gives off spicy flavor into the pot.
Mm-hmm.
Maintain, and it keeps the spice together so that it doesn't get mixed up in your food. So let's suppose you have a bundle of truma spices. You put it into the first pot. Chazan Asan will take there, then you put it into another pot. So the issue is like this. Here the spices are truma. So if they're going to give off flavor into the cooked pot of food, the rest of the food will not be edible, not be mutum achila for a zar. So the first kadeira will be also tazar, obviously. But if you put it into another pot, a second go-round, so it's possible in batal tamo, if it lost its kick, so to speak, and it doesn't affect the second pot, mutter. So then the zarim can go ahead and eat anything they like in the second pot. Then lav, if it wasn't nullified, then it's also to non-kohanim. So you just follow the flavor, right? A bundle of spices, you follow the flavor. It's very easy to remember that rule. Mabin Olivain Sheves. So what's the difference in this and Sheves? What's Sheves? Dill. Dill. So dill apparently has the quality at this point we're assuming that dill is not eaten. Dill is purely used for giving flavor. After you cook it once, it says over here in the Brisa, Hashavas Shanas and Tam V'Kedera, Eimo Mishum Truma. This Brisa says that once you use dill one time, that's it. It's no longer Truma. It loses its shame. Oichel, and from now on it has a shame like Eitz Ba'alma, and it's no problem whatsoever. No Kedushas Truma at all. It doesn't have even, it's not Kalatum, it totally loses its Shem Oichel. So the Gemara is asking Akasha, what's going on over here? Why by the spices you go ahead, you test it and see did it give Tom in the second pot? So you see even after using it once, it didn't lose its shame truma. And when it came to dill, it lost the shame truma after one pot. And the second pot, we don't bother testing it at all. So the Gemara says like this. You got the Akasha? Mishalcha nosnu locha. That means they gave you what was already yours by rights. Meaning, really, dill is not really a food. By biblical law, it should never acquire tuma. It's just makabot, and shouldn't be subject to truma either. The Rabbanon, it was a din der Rabbanon. The Chachamim came along and decided that dill is going to have a din of truma. They also gave it that din, that it's Makabal Tumah as well, also Drabbanan. The Hain Omru, we gave him Shanas and Tamik Nera Batela. They also made up this rule one time and you're out. Okay, so it's a din Drabbanan. Mashain Kane, spices are actually in the bottom line of the page of 98b1. In the Bryce's case, by contrast, the spices actually are food. Right? They are in the bottom it says they are items that are not only used to flavor a dish, they are also eaten on their own. Okay? So they have a din like Eichel Menat Torah. So therefore you have different set of restrictions. So we'll test it twice. A little further. Good. You put wine into fish sauce. This is coming out like a Rebbe. Because we have a brisa with the machlokes Rabbi and Rabbi Elazar Rebbe. Yain lemoris regarding wine of truma, can you add it to fish sauce? Rabbi Mati, Rabbi says it's mutter, just like our Mishnah says. So our Mishnah is like Rebbe. Rabbi Elazar Rebbe, Rabbi Shimon Oyser. He held it was not mutter. He held it was usher to put wine into fish sauce. What's the machlokes? So it says over here, Rabbi Elazar Rebbe Shimon holds it's to neutralize the point of wine in fish sauce is to neutralize the unsavory odor, and such use is considered a waste. Rebbe held that it was actually to enhance the flavor of the sauce. So that's the issue. You have an ingredient here, which you have the machlokes tanaim, what its function is. To enhance the flavor, Rebbe, or to just get rid of the bad flavor. So therefore, following through, if it's truma, if it's to enhance the flavor, it's mutter. If it's just to get rid of something else, that's not mutter by truma. So the Gemara says lefichach. So we have another nafkamina in the machlokes. Im avar v'nusanai, but if you went ahead, it doesn't mean you're over an aver. It means if you went ahead and did it, and you added wine into fish sauce. Now, according to Rebbe held its mutter to put the wine in the wine sauce. But as a result of that, is guess what?
Only Kohanim
are going to be able to eat it subsequently because it's a ikar ingredient, it's enhancing the flavor, and only Kohanim can eat it. Mashain Kane Lakula, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, who holds you're not allowed to put it in, but if you went ahead, that's what means them Avar, according to his Shita. If you were Avar and you did put it in, so then it'll become Mutal Lazarin, because now its only function was Lahavar Sazuama, but it wasn't being used as food. Right? In 14, according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, the Truma wine has been nullified by the fish sauce, since the sauce totally ruins the wine's flavor. So it's no longer as being present in the mixture, and it can be consumed even by non-Kohanim. Very interesting. Because it ruins the wine's flavor. Okay. So now the Gemara asks Akasha. So let's figure something out over here. According to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, who holds that the Tzar can eat it, Murias Shalgayim Lama Asar. Let's suppose I have fish sauce of a guy. So that should really be mutter. Why? What's the worst thing that could happen in a fish sauce? the goyel puts some of his wine into the fish sauce, and that's also b'shasiya, so you'd say the oath, so the fish sauce is treif. But no, we just saw that if you started off with truma wine, pouring it into the wine ruins the wine's taste, and it's no longer an iser truma, and the tzar can eat it. So then the same token, a goy pouring in his yayin should become ruined, and it should be mutter for a tzar to eat it, to eat that murius. That's the kasha. So the Gemara tries to answer. It was aser because of the iser of eating food cooked by goyim. Rabbis decreed that food cooked by goyim is prohibited, even if it's kosher. So he's saying, according to Rabbi Shimon, the reason the wine sauce is aser is not because it might contain nesach wine, but because it is cooked. And it's prohibited under the rabbinic decree of Bishalaka. The Gemara says, "No, Hasar of Yaisi, Vahatani, Uman Mutar, Shein Uman Asar," that when it comes to the fish sauce prepared by a guy, so it says over here like this, it depends if your business is to manufacture fish sauce, you won't dilute it with wine. The sauce is extremely high in fat, the wine will interact negatively with high fat content, spoiling the quality of the wine of the fish sauce. Because it certainly contains no nesach wine, the professional's fish sauce is mutter. Okay, so that's what it says. The Braisa says, Uman mutter, the fish sauce of a professional condiment maker is mutter because he's not going to put wine into it. Shein Uman Osir, but regular balabas, you know, those at home businesses, so the wine sauce is the fish sauce is a less expensive. Okay? Or he says a non-professional generally prepares the sauce in small batches to be consumed relatively short time periods so the wine won't spoil. Whatever the reason is. Okay, so what's he asking? Let's see. So, Rabbi Yossi elaborates. Uman mutter, lo she'enu mevushel. Isn't that referring to uncooked sauce? Right? It has to be, because if it was cooked sauce, right, if you cook the sauce, then it would be osir even for a professional, because fish halakha is osir whether you're a professional or whether you're an amateur, right? So when it says that we're talking about something that's mutter, it can't be cooked. So that's halakha number one. In that same case where it's not cooked, it's osir. I feel any emotional, even though it is not cooked, it must be because the yain nesach. So it's not because of bishul akum. You're trying to suggest that the reason why murius is osir is because of bishul akum. I'm proving from here that it can't be because of bishul akum, because if it was bishul akum, even the professionals would have been osir. So that's a problem. That's a problem over there. How are we doing on time here?
9:00.
So let's resolve the difficulty a little bit. A little bit more, a couple lines. Amar Rabbi Yochanan bar Murya, Afilu Kamandi Amar Uman Mutar, Uvad Biodeya. You have to know that it was for sure prepared by an expert. It can't be a suffix. Hada Amra, so this is the difference. The Gemara is going to answer the difference. Hanoyas Truma Mutaras, Hanoyas Avad Ozara Asura. What's the difference? The difference is whether there's an Isra Hanoy here. Truma is not Asur B'Hanah, but Avodah Zarah is Asur B'Hanah. So the wine provides a benefit. Even if you're going to say that the wine is ruined, it doesn't make a difference. It still was an Isur Hanah, and it provides a benefit in that it takes away the Zuhama of the Moryas, and therefore it's going to be Asur. Okay?
I think they ate
not?
A lot of fish sauce.
98. And we'll continue 99, Mirat Hashem, tomorrow.